Welcome to the Old Time Radio Westerns. I'm your host, Andrew Rines, and this episode's brought to you by Cub Scouts of America. You know what? Here's my son with some more information.
Hi, my name is Adrian. Right now, I am selling popcorn to help pay for Cub Scout outings and supplies. I might need, please support me, Adrian, by buying popcorn. Thanks for your help. And now, back to my dad.
Thanks, Adrian. He is right. It does help support the Cub Scouts, and it actually supports him. We are making any money that's raised by the Scouts are actually going towards the Scouts. So it goes into their PAC fund, and what that means is if they need to go on an outing and they've got money inside their PAC fund, they don't have to pay for it out of pocket. It comes out of there. It teaches the Scouts how to sell and do things like that. So, like, example, today he was learning and understanding how broadcasting works and how the radio works and all that. So it actually helps them learn. I'm a big supporter of Cub Scouting, as you guys may know, and scouting in general. So again, let's actually give you the link. Go to otrwesterns.com/popcorn. otrwesterns.com/popcorn. Just type that up in the URL where you would type in google.com or whatnot. Again, otrwesterns.com/popcorn, and or even check the show notes. I'm going to put that in the show notes also. But what that does is that will send you over to Cub Trails. What Cub Trails does is they will actually give him credit for purchasing it. They've got a wide variety of popcorn. And let's say you go, you know, I don't want popcorn. What you can do at that point is there's also donating to military. What that does is that actually buys popcorn for our men and women who are overseas and fighting. So they will actually, all that money goes directly to that. We get a little bit of money off of it, but for the most part, you're buying popcorn for the men and women overseas. So that's a good way of doing it. But there is a lot of good flavors out there. Remember, it is fundraising, so it's going to be a little bit on the higher price than what you just go buy in the store, but you are supporting scouting. What I'll do for you, if you decide to purchase, is I'll give you a membership to that same exact price. So let's say it's, you know, $30 is what you spend. I will give you a $30 membership. Whatever that would entail, you'll get that. I'm also going to do a special video for anybody who does this, and probably an extra show just for you, my supporters in this campaign. So don't send me any money. Go ahead and go to otrwesterns.com/popcorn. Help my son raise money. I think it's great. Last time we did this, he was a top seller. You guys are a huge support, and keep me going. Help the scouting going. Keep these kids, you know, out of anything bad. Thanks, and let's get into today's episode. Today's episode is going to be Gunsmoke. Original air date, it's August 27th, 1955, and the title is Doc Quits. Oh no, that's not good. Doc should not be quitting. Let's get into it, and let's find out what happened. Walk it, swim it, and set your sail. We're taking a trip on the scouting trail. We're taking a trip on the scouting trail.
Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. Transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful. And a little lonely.
Thank you.
Hey, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, what, Chester?
Ain't that Doc's buggy sitting out by Joe Crumley's shack there?
Huh? Yeah, must be. Masters like them couldn't afford a buggy.
No.
There it is. Yeah, let's stop and see what's going on, huh?
All right, sir. I bet old Doc will be surprised to see us way out here.
Yeah, it's not much of a place Crumley's got there, is it?
Sure ain't. My. They better quit, if you ask me.
Now, let's tie him to the buggy, Chester.
All right, sir.
Who's that out there?
It's Matt Dillon, Miss Crumley.
Hello, Marshal.
Ma'am?
Matt?
Hi, Doc.
Chester.
Hello, Doc.
We were on our way to Fort Larned, and we saw Doc's buggy, so we'd stop and say hello.
How you do, ma'am?
Chester.
Your husband sick, Miss Crumley?
No. No, Marshal.
He died, Matt.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, ma'am.
Doctor and all he could just weren't no use.
I might as well not have come. I couldn't do a thing for him.
Now, Doc, don't say that. You've been up 24 hours trying to save him.
It's not time that saves a patient, Mrs. Crumley. It's knowledge. Knowledge I don't have.
You know what there is to know, Doc. Nobody knows more.
Your husband's dead, Mrs. Crumley. I wanted to save him.
You tried.
What are you going to do now, ma'am? Can we help you in any way?
Thank you, Marshal. There's nothing. With Joe gone, I can't stay here. I reckon in a day or so I'll pack up and move on. I don't know where I'll go. I've got no place. Excuse me, I've got to get inside.
Oh, my. Now, that poor lady.
He didn't have to die.
It's not your fault.
Well, then,
Doc.
Whose fault is it, I'd like to know?
Now, Doc, you're not making sense.
It's being a doctor that doesn't make sense. Spending my life trying to look into the faces of people like Mrs. Crumley and having to listen to them thank me for letting their people die. Oh, I'm sick.
You need a drink, Doc.
I know what I need. Why don't you leave me alone? Get your horses off my buggy and go on up to Larned or wherever you're headed for.
Yeah, sure, Doc. Come on, Chester.
Matt?
Yeah, Doc.
How long are you going to be gone, Matt?
Oh, maybe a week.
When you get back to Dodge, I'll buy you a drink.
Thanks, Doc.
If I'm still there. Yep, come on, Joe.
Betchel, Marshal. Jameson Betchel.
Well, how do you do, sir? This is Chester Proudfoot.
Chester?
How you do?
I came by before, Marshal, but your office was locked up.
Well, we've been away. We just got back. What can I do for you, Mr. Betchel?
Why, nothing, sir. Only wanted to meet you. I met most everybody in Dodge by now. I've been getting acquainted. You know how it is when you move to a new town.
You going into business of some kind?
Well, not exactly, Marshal. I'm a professional man.
Oh, what?
That is, I'm a doctor, Chester.
I know. Well, we've got a doctor.
Yes, indeed. Well, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure meeting you both, and I'm sure we'll be good friends. I would admire to buy you both a drink next time we meet. Good day, gentlemen.
Good day, Dr. Batchel. It was a funny thing, Chester.
What?
Doc said he'd buy me a drink when I got back.
He did?
Yeah. If he's still here, he said. Yeah, Chester.
You want to stop in Delmonico's for a cup of coffee?
All right.
Hey, look, Mr. Dillon.
What?
Over yonder. It's Doc, by the window there.
Well, he hasn't left.
No, sir. Hey, there's Miss Kitty. Out there in the back there, see?
Oh, well, I'll go say hello to her, Chester. You go sit with Doc. I'll join you in a couple of minutes.
All right.
Well, hello, Matt.
Hello, Kitty.
Sit down.
Oh, thank you.
Good to see you back.
How are you, Kitty?
Well, I'm all right, but I'm the only one.
Oh, what do you mean?
I mean Doc. He's acting like a bear.
Oh?
I asked him to sit with me when he came in, but he just grumbled something about not being fit company for anybody. And he went over there and sat all by himself. You know, he's been like that for a week.
Yeah. He took Joe Crumley's dying pretty hard, Kitty.
Well, that's just part of it, Matt.
Oh?
This new doctor, Betzel. Ever since he came, Doc's been getting grumpier. Maybe he's been losing patience, but... special.
Doc's never had any competition before.
Well, he's got it now. Look.
What?
Special.
Oh. Yeah.
Now, what's he up to? You know, he better stay away from Doc if he knows what's good for him.
Maybe he's only trying to be friendly.
I don't want to talk to you about anything.
Don't you get all riled up, Adam.
There's going to be a fight in a minute, Matt.
Yeah, I better go see what this is all about, Kitty.
Let me know if you find out.
Yeah, I will.
Explain my position, and if you had to listen to me for a minute instead of hollering all the time...
Well, maybe I'll start carrying a gun, Betchel.
Hello, Doc.
Matt.
Hello there, Marshal.
Sit down, Betchel.
Thank you, sir. I was about to.
Just what are you buttoning on this for, Matt? Why don't you go arrest some drunks or do what you're supposed to be doing?
It's good to see you, Doc.
No, it is. Hey, Doc. There's Jake Worth out there. He's beckoning to you.
Why don't you go see what he wants, Chester?
Yes, sir.
Who is Jake Worth? I don't think I've met him.
Jake's a rancher, one of the biggest in the country.
Yes, you ought to meet him, Betchel. Yes, he's worth a lot of money.
Oh, now, Doc, there's enough here for both of us. He just won't be reasonable, Marshal.
Reasonable?
About what, Betchel?
About my practicing here. I don't see why we should be in competition, do you?
Well, if there are two doctors in the place, I guess they're bound to be in competition.
Oh, two doctors.
Now, wait just a moment. Everybody I've talked to admits there's more work here than one man can handle.
Well, I guess that's true, isn't it, Doc?
Oh, sure, yes, that's true.
Why, of course it is. I've already got some patients. Now, my idea is to split the practice in a friendly way and then really go to work. We'd still have more than either of us could do.
Tell him the rest, Betchel.
Oh, yes. Tell him the real idea.
Well, sir, since we will be giving people better care and all, that's only fair. We get paid more for it.
What do you mean?
He wants me to agree to a raise in fees, Matt. Yes, a raise. He wants to make a lot of money. Everybody pays more than they can afford or they stay sick, according to him.
Well, now, why shouldn't they pay more?
Where'd you get the idea that being a doctor is like running a business?
There's nothing wrong with a doctor making a living, is there?
You haven't even proved to me that you are a doctor, Betcher.
Are you going to stop that again?
He's one of these bleeding blister men, Matt. That's all he knows.
Now, Dr. Adams, I am a patient man, but I've got my limits. Now, you watch what you're telling everybody about me, or there's going to be some trouble.
Are you threatening me?
Well, I'm just not going to stand for any more of your talk.
Well, what are you going to do about it, then?
I'm going to insist on...
Doc?
Yes, what is it, Chester?
Jake Worth has brought his boy to see you.
Jake? Which boy?
Billy. You know, Doc, the puny, sickly one. Jake says he's getting worse. He's took to having fits lately. He's got him in a wagon outside.
All right, Chester.
I think I'll go with you, Doc.
You'll be in better company than staying here.
You're jealous, Adams. You're jealous, and what's more, you're greedy.
That's enough, Betchel.
Why, sure, you're on his side, Marshal. But I don't care. I've already got quite a few folks on mine.
Any scoundrel can fool people for a little while. You coming, Matt?
Yeah, okay. You're being pretty hard on him, Doc.
Not hard enough.
Doc, over here. Hello, Jake.
Hello, Doc. Marshal?
How are you, Jake?
I just couldn't leave him here alone, Doc. I never know when he's going to have one of them fits again. They come on terrible sudden. I got him in the back of the wagon here.
Wait a minute, Jake.
What's the matter, Doc?
I might as well tell you now. There's no use my even looking at your boy.
What?
Fitz and the way your boy is, I don't know anything to do for him.
But you got to do something.
I'm sorry, Jake. I'm real sorry.
Maybe I can do something, Mr. Worth.
Who are you?
My name is Betchel, Jameson Betchel. I'm the new doctor.
Oh, sure. I've heard about you.
Oh, and I don't listen to him, Jake. He can't help your boy any more than I
can. Doc Adams is a little old-fashioned, Mr. Worth. I can tell you there's always something that can be done for any patient.
Oh, that's a lie.
Let him talk, Doc. At least he's willing to try.
There's nothing to try. I tell you, medicine doesn't understand cases like your boy yet.
You're jealous of Dr. Betchel, ain't you?
Oh, my jealous.
Well, that's what I've heard folks saying. I didn't believe it at first, but I do now.
Jake, I've heard all I need to know about Betchel's doctrine around here, and I don't think he should be practicing at all.
I've told you to stop saying that.
Now, wait a minute, Betchel. Let him talk.
Well, I don't want to hear no more talk. No wonder so many folks are turning away from you, Doc. They need somebody who will help them, that's why.
You think bleeding your boy is going
to
help him?
There's other ways to treat him besides bleeding.
Like what?
Well, if you don't happen to know, I
don't... Come on, Dr. Betchel. Get to work on the boy.
Why, certainly, Mr. Worth. Perhaps it'd be better if you drive him home first. I'll get my horse and follow.
Anything you say, Doctor.
Matt?
Yeah, Doc.
I'm going to take down my shingle. And I mean it this time.
Oh, now, Doc, you can't do that.
You just come and watch.
Once Doc made up his mind about something, there was no talking him out of it. He took down his shingle, all right, but nobody seemed to care much. Till 2 days later, when Betchel nearly doubled his fees. Then everybody blamed it on Doc somehow. I got mad at him. But that didn't bother Doc. He started going to bed early and sleeping late for a change. And most of his time was spent in my office playing penny ante poker with Chester. He wouldn't even talk about it. Till the day I heard something I thought might rouse him, I went back to tell him about it.
You just amaze me sometimes. Mr. Dillon, you are getting this game. This is the easiest money I ever made.
Oh, yeah. That's, well, I'll get it back, Chester. The whole 90 cents.
Doc.
Yes, Matt?
You know old Miss Cullen.
Mrs. Cullen? Well, I ought to. I brought her back to life half a dozen times.
Or you won't have to anymore, Doc.
What's happened?
She died about noon today.
She did?
Dr. Betchell decided a good bleeding was what she needed.
Bleeding? That poor old lady.
Yeah, her boy told me.
No wonder she died. She couldn't stand that. Why didn't she send for me?
Oh, maybe she'd heard that you'd quit,
I'd have gone if she'd wanted me. The only reason I quit is so people will find out in a hurry what kind of a doctor this Betchell is. It'd take him twice as long if I was still on the job. And the sooner they find out, the less harm he'll be able to do.
What about Miss Cullen?
Oh, she was 90 years old, Matt. Betchell killed her all right, but she couldn't have lived much longer anyway. Maybe her death will save lives in the long run. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess you're right, Doc. I hadn't thought about it that way.
I'm going to go to the Alfaganza and have me a drink. Anybody want to join me? Buying, Doc?
Oh, yes, I'm buying, Chester.
You know, a man who isn't working shouldn't be spending money, Doc.
Can't think of a better time to spend it.
Doc? How are you, Sam?
What'll it be, gentlemen?
Shot of rye and a glass of beer all around, Sam.
Sure, Doc.
Oh, Sam, by the way, how's your back feel?
Oh, why, I haven't noticed it so much lately.
Well, I told you it might go away by itself.
Well, you said there was nothing you could do for it, so I went to see Dr. Betchell.
Oh, idiot. I suppose he fixed it, hmm?
He told me to mix some cold water and vinegar and salt and rub it with that.
Vinegar?
I've also been taking unicorn root and cayenne pepper.
Well, you're a strong man if that hasn't ruined you.
Well, made me so sick I can't feel my back no more. Doc, I shouldn't have gone to him. That ain't no way to treat anything. I'll get you your drinks now.
Well, Doc, there's one man who's found out.
One isn't enough, Matt.
Doc. Hello, Jake.
You gotta come out to the ranch, Doc. You gotta come out now.
Why? What's wrong?
It's the boy, Billy. Oh.
Well, I can't go, Jake.
Of course you can.
It's not my case.
I told Dr. Betchell not to come back no more. I told him on my way in here.
I guess you didn't make it too clear, Jake.
What?
I might have known that this was what you had in mind.
What are you doing here?
You're after Dr. Adams to take care of Billy, eh?
I sure am.
Well, he's not going to do
it. Don't you tell me what I'm going
to
do.
Betchell, after what you've done to that boy, it's a wonder he's still alive. I should have stopped you right off.
What did he do, Jake?
I'll tell you what he did, Marshal. When it got real cold at night, he took the boys' clothes off and made them go outside and lay on some sacks. And then he threw buckets of ice-cold spring water on and kept it up until Billy was hollering and screaming. But finally made him quit. And that boy's real sick now. But Betchell ain't gonna get nowhere near him again.
If you'd have let me finish the treatment, he'd been all right.
Finish the treatment? If he'd have let you finish the treatment, the boy'd have died of pneumonia.
Adams, you talk anymore, I'm just gonna tear you open.
No, you're not, Betchell.
Oh, let him fight his own fights, Marshal.
No, I won't let him. Doc's too valuable a man to get busted up in a brawl.
By golly, the Marshal's right. I'll stand up for him, too.
You're just a fool, Jake.
Get out of the way.
You're coming with me, Doc?
On one condition.
What?
That Betchell leaves town.
Why, you can't...
All right, hold it, Betchell.
I don't know how you got started in this business. Probably in a medicine show. It's happened before. But you're a fraud. You're the most obvious fraud I ever saw.
I've warned you.
And I won't stand for your posing as a doctor anymore. Not around here, I won't. You've done all the harm you're going to do.
I'm with you there, Doc.
I said I'd tear you open, Adams, and I'll...
Got a knife.
Don't try it, man.
Look out, Mr. Dillon.
I might have known a doctor would be carrying a knife.
He ain't no more doctor than I am.
Chester.
Yes, sir?
When he comes to, lock him up. We'll throw him on the first stage, leaving Dodge.
I'll do it with pleasure, Mr. Dillon.
Will you come now, Doc?
You understand, Jake? I can't cure your boy's fits.
I should have listened to you in the first place, Doc.
There are a lot of people who should have, Jacob.
That's true, Marshal. Will you come, Doc?
You can keep those drinks, Sam. I don't have time to waste in here anymore.
Directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Our story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Tom Hanley and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Lawrence Dobkin, James Nusser, Frank Cady, and Ann Morrison. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNair is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Listen again next week for another transcribed story of the Western frontier. It's America growing west in the 1870s. It's Gunsmoke. Brought to you by L&M Silvers.
Back. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of OTRWesterns.com. Send me an email, podcast@OTRWesterns.com. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, OTRWesterns.com/Facebook. And we're also on Twitter, OTRWesterns.com/Twitter. Call, leave me a voicemail, 707-986-8739. Don't forget to rate this show on iTunes, OTRWesterns.com/iTunes. This episode's copyright 2013 under the attribution non-commercial share-alike copyright. For more information, go to otrwesterns.com/copyright. Pretty much that just means give me credit for putting it out there. Hope you enjoy. Again, thanks for listening and have a great day.